It's All Things Considered on WNYC. I'm Amy Eddings. Twice as many homes and businesses in and near the city would be in flood zones under new maps released by the Federal Emergency Management Agency. This means many will have to pay either higher insurance rates or raise their homes above sea level. Many residents in hard-hit areas are not pleased to find their properties on the map. WNYC's Stephen Nesson has this report from the Garrison Beach section of Brooklyn.
Jennifer Avina was born and raised in this working-class Brooklyn neighborhood made up of low-slung bungalows, and she can't afford to buy flood insurance right now.
When I bought my house, that was not in the arrangements, that wasn't in my budget, that wasn't in our paycheck to own our home, and I don't know what I'm going to do.
Her two-story clapboard home sits a block from the channel and took on nearly 5 feet of water during Sandy. All that's left of the first story is the wooden frame, a metal sink on the floor, and a dangling white shower head. She's not even sure how she'd raise this old home 11 feet above sea level, which is the FEMA requirement to meet new compliance codes in this neighborhood. Neither does her neighbor Michael Murr. He's in the midst of renovating his damaged basement and wonders what's the point.
To sink money into repairing a house that you may have to raise up, it means you're demolishing a lot of what you've just spent a lot of money to repair. Also not a sensible move.
It's still unclear how these maps will affect individual flood insurance rates, but Murr worries his neighbors will be priced out of this close-knit community. Many of them are now retired city employees living on pensions.
It'll also accomplish turning most of these houses into unsellable or sellable only to contractors and developers or people with a lot of money.
Congress just passed a more than $50 billion Sandy relief package, so we'll see if any of that trickles down to Garrison Beach. For WNYC, I'm Stephen Nesson.
For more on these new flood maps, I'm joined by Michael Byrne, FEMA's Federal Coordinating Officer for New York. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks, Amy. It's good to be back.
These maps were being revised before Sandy hit. So how did the storm change your calculations about flood impacts?
Well, I don't think the storm itself changed it, but we were well underway doing the analysis and doing the changes. The maps hadn't been changed in 30 years. The last one was 1983. So there's a lot more science, a lot more accurate modeling that we were able to do to be able to create these new maps.
The maps now include some communities that were not considered flood zones before, like New Dorp Beach and Oakwood Beach on Staten Island, Manhattan Beach in Brooklyn. Tell me what this means. Must residents in these new flood zones buy flood insurance? And if they must, can they reduce the cost by building to new, tougher flood standards?
Yes, they can. And, we encourage everyone to buy flood insurance, even those a lot of homes that aren't in a flood zone. It is something that is only covered by the flood insurance policies that we underwrite. They can mitigate the premium sizes if they do take certain precautions. So if they look at the flood map and are able to see that elevating is something something they can do, and it would over the years be cost effective because it will reduce their premiums dramatically.
Many residents of Garrison Beach, as we heard in Stephen Nesson's report, will have to raise their homes 11 feet above sea level to meet the new standards. Michael Murr, who we also heard in Stephen's story, wants to know, how would he know what that means? Let's hear his question.
How would I measure the height of my home as compared to the floodplain so I know exactly what's required of me? How would I do that as a homeowner? I'm sure engineers can do this, but how do I know what I have to do?
Mr. Byrne, can you help him here?
I sure can. It is something that the best way to do it would be required to get a survey. And certainly if he's, doing significant repairs to his home, he will need to get a building permit that would require that. So they'd be able to find out where actually is his elevation right now. So if he has to go up, higher, he may be already at 2 or 3 or even more feet high as it is and will not have to go as high as maybe he thinks at this point in time.
These are preliminary maps. The city is likely to eventually incorporate these flood zones and FEMA mitigation specifications into its building codes and zoning rules. But that's down the line. What happens if someone ignores these requirements and rebuilds their home the way it was before? Can they count on their structure being grandfathered in when the city gets around to rewriting its codes?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, this is one of the reasons why we put out these advisories as quickly as we can, because we know people are making tough decisions right now about what to do, and certainly the two families in the story are facing those kinds of tough choices. But, you know, we owe it to be, you know, honest with them and tell them that, the actual risk that they face, so that they can make the right decision and can, you know, either elevate or find other solutions. And one of the other things is, you know, we're if they currently have a policy, a flood insurance policy, this increased cost of compliance is a way for them to get some additional assistance to help pay for any elevations that might be required.
As somebody's going forward, sitting at the kitchen table and doing the back of the napkin estimates on what is the most feasible option, what do you suggest they look at in terms of making that decision? Do I buy flood insurance? Do I rebuild to higher specifications? What's going to be most cost effective for me? What do they need to look at?
Well, you know, I think the first thing to think about is it's not just about the money. It's about the suffering. You know, it's about, you know, certainly, you know, the damages these the people have gone through have been traumatic. So, you know, like one of the other reasons to consider elevating is that, you know, it'll put you in a better place to not have to go through these kinds of, you know, gut-wrenching disasters. And then over time, you know, it's a financial decision. You know, if we look at someone who chooses not to elevate, who remains below the best base flood elevation, their premiums could be as high as $9,500 a year, whereas if they did raise their house, the premiums would be as low as, $427 a year. So I think there is an economic justification, and there is certainly a emotional and, just building back more resilience so that you can get through these things without having to suffer damage.
Now, I know if people have a federally insured mortgage, they're required to buy flood insurance, correct?
Yes, that's correct, yeah.
If somebody's just walking away from their flood-damaged home, a story in the New York Times today about people just saying, look, I'm putting my property up for sale as is. It's up to you to decide what to do with it. If people have the cash to rebuild there and do not need a mortgage, they do not need to buy flood insurance?
You know, I would hope that they would think hard about that and realize that that the smart thing to do would be to get an flood insurance program. The smart thing to do in order to make their investment even more worthwhile would be to get flood insurance and also to follow the elevation guidelines and the construction guidelines for building in some of those zones. I saw that article, and some of those zones are probably even areas where it's not just about the water rising; it's also about the force of the water, the V-zone, the velocity zone, that they need to make sure that they're building to code on that.
Michael Byrne with the Federal Emergency Management Agency. He's the Federal Coordinating Officer for New York. Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Amy. Take care.